All right, on this May the 5th, let's go back to Great American Ballpark and bring in the great Kerry Crowley. Kerry, how are you?
Great this morning, Marty. How are you?
Very good. Good to see you, as always. I know you're a runner. Are you running at all in Cincinnati?
You know, they had the Flying Pig Cincinnati Marathon this morning, so all the streets were blocked off, but I chose not to participate. I was going to be a late entry into the 10K on Saturday, but Friday's game went too late for me, so I decided to skip out on that.
Have you been in Cincinnati before? Well,
yeah,
of course, last year. What do you think of the city? What do you think of it?
They say that downtown has really changed, and you know, you can walk along the Ohio River. There's a nice little spot for that. I think there's still some work to do in terms of sprucing up downtown a little bit. But from everything I've heard, it's gotten a lot nicer in the past 10 years or so. And you know, I like the ballpark setting on the water. I like any ballpark that's downtown in the heart of the city. I think that that's really important.
Yeah, it's the way to go. You just get the feel of the city when you have that. But my question to you is this. You know, last night, what, 5 home runs, almost 6, and Pilar made the crazy catch. We had the game on Friday night. How would you like to have that ballpark as your home ballpark and cover a team playing there?
I would not. I would not at all. It would make writing a lot harder. I'll tell you that. I usually start writing my game story about the 7th inning, and at Oracle Park, it's a little more predictable. You don't get a lot of runs there, but in Cincinnati, you just have to prepare for absolutely everything. It's like Coors Field of the Midwest. You never know what way the game's going to turn. And I mean, we saw it on Friday night. We didn't see it on Saturday when the Giants dug themselves into such a deep hole. But Friday night was just such a crazy game, and they're really accustomed to games like that in Cincinnati. The Reds had blown a 9-run lead within the past year or two. So, you know, this happens at Great American Ballpark. We just aren't accustomed to seeing it on the West Coast.
You think the fans like it?
You know, there's not a whole lot of fans in the seat, so it's hard to say.
Yeah.
I think they'd like it a lot more if the Reds were winning games, but they just haven't done that in the past 2-plus years now. And so it's hard to say, but I think that it makes for entertaining baseball. At least the ball's in play a lot more. And you know, home runs are exciting. They energize a fan base, and you can't have every game be 2-1. And I think the Giants have, you know, become used to that through the past 5 to 10 years, especially with the World Series teams. They were so strong with their pitching, and they hit enough, but they didn't hit too many home runs. And so they're kind of seeing what life is like in modern baseball now in 2018, 2019 with the increase in home runs and the launch angle revolution.
I wonder, and we'll get onto the game in a second, I wonder how a park like that would be received in San Francisco. Now, Seal Stadium, you know, many, many, many years ago, small stadium was, a Pacific Coast League stadium. Then, of course, they went to Candlestick, which was much bigger. And, of course, this park, I'd say, is moderately big. However, it's playing big. But I wonder how the fan base of San Francisco would take to a Great American Ballpark as their home park here.
Well, I think if the front office was able to construct the roster to really give the club a home field advantage, and the Giants were going 51-30 at home every year, they would take it. They'd love scoring 10 runs a game at home, or, you know, 7-plus runs a game regularly. But right now, the roster is built to play in pitcher's parks, and we're seeing that the Giants, you know, this pitching staff, a lot of these guys are fly ball pitchers, Derek Rodriguez included. And so you're going to see a lot of guys, Jeff Samardzija being one of them, where the home road splits are going to be pretty drastic this year. And I just think that until the Giants make changes to Oracle Park, it makes sense to structure the roster the way it is, with, you know, being pitching heavy, being defense heavy, and trying to scratch across runs any way you can.
Let's talk about Rodriguez for a second, then we'll go to Samardzija and what he's accomplished this year. And I outlined the numbers in 4 games, 18 innings pitched, 23 hits, 15 runs, 6 homers, and the big one, 12 walks, 14 strikeouts. This is completely, completely opposite what we're used to with him. What's the trouble? And does he make another start? What can the Giants do here?
You know, Marty, last year, Derek Rodriguez was so good at inducing soft contact. He would nibble on the corners. He would use the fastball to set up his off-speed pitches. And he, there were so many groundouts to shortstop or easy fly balls to center field. And he didn't have the high strikeout rate. And that's what the analytics gurus were worried about. They said eventually this contact is going to be hard. And we saw it last night. The Reds hit 9 balls off of Rodriguez with exit velocities greater than 100 miles per hour. And so I don't know if the league is catching up to him, if he just doesn't have the same caliber of stuff that he had last year. But I think that the Giants are going to try and let him work through the struggles that he's going through. It's only been 2 rough starts for him so far. You know, he had one earlier in the year, but then he strung together 3 really nice outings. And, it's going to be tough for him at Coors Field. They just don't have a whole lot of options on this 40-man roster. They could have Sean Anderson pitch Thursday, but I don't think they want to bring a rookie up for his major league debut in Colorado and feed him to the Wolves at Coors Field.
Yeah, I agree, although they did it with Rodriguez last year.
They did, but he came out of the bullpen.
Yeah, true.
And I think that was different.
All right, very well said. Gary Crowley, our guest, Bay Area News Group, of course, doing a great, great job covering the Giants' his second year, Rookie of the Year last year. And you put in more hours and more days than anybody on the beat, so we appreciate you being on with us. Let's go to Samardzija. And I talked about him as the show opened up today. I know FX is listening to me now, and Nancy Hayden Crowley. FX is finally following me on Twitter. It took him 6 years to do it, but he's finally doing it.
That's great.
Yeah, but Samardzija, Kerry, I think he's all of a sudden getting real trade value simply because the world of baseball has turned into 5 innings starting pitching or 2 or 3 innings out of a bullpen, a bridge guy. Samardzija is kind of mastering that, and I think it's sort of maybe the beginning of a story for him.
And I think that's why these road starts are so important for him, Marty, because, if he's going to have trade value, he has to do it elsewhere aside from Oracle Park, and he has to prove that he can be the same caliber of pitcher on the road. We saw a solid start in Toronto in a good hitter-friendly park up there at the Rogers Center before he started to fall apart in the 6th inning or so. But you ask me right now, if the Giants if the All-Star voters were deciding today and they had to pick one guy off this Giants roster to be an All-Star, it's probably Jeff Samardzija.
Wow.
Because the hitters haven't produced, but Samardzija, top 10 in the league in ERA, he's inducing a lot of soft contact against right-handed hitters. You're right that his trade value has gone from nowhere in the offseason to potentially a guy the Giants might be able to deal.
Yeah, I keep thinking of the Brewers, and the Giants have such a connection to the Brewers. The Brewers think they're going to get pitchers back from injury later on, but they're throwing people that you never heard of or would – good last year. They've been in the minors this year. You put Samardzija in there like the Wade Miley, and you give 5 innings out of Samardzija. I think he's got value. I think the Brewers would be a good matchup.
And it's a great way to deal for the Giants because their director of pro scouting is Zach Manassian, who came over from the Brewers organization, and he knows that system well. So if you're going to take, maybe a lesser minor leaguer or two with high upside, Manassian knows which ones to pluck from that organization. And I think that he could really be an asset for Farhan if they are looking to deal with a team in the NL Central like Milwaukee.
They love the Brewers. Eric Kratz, vote. Reed, they all came through the Brewers, and Zach is all over it. And I agree with you. That's why I like the matchup there. Maranta has been terrific. Dyson has been terrific. And I'm looking at Washington and Philadelphia. And again, we're looking ahead here, and it's kind of the fun of Sunday morning baseball. If you put Sam Dyson on the Phillies or the Nationals, I think he'd be the best relief pitcher they have.
Absolutely, and he's versatile. He's probably not going to be a closer on either of those teams, but what he would do is he could go in and get you 4 or 5 outs in a game, come in the 7th, and then sit down on the bench while the team hits, and then go out in the 8th and get 3 more outs. His sinker plays. He's a double play guy, ground ball pitcher, and he's someone who can pitch outside of Oracle Park. There's no concern about that because Sam Dyson isn't a fly ball pitcher, and so he's got a lot more trade value than I think a lot of people in the industry really realize.
He can pitch in a phone booth, which he probably could. He'd like to do that. You never know what he's going to say. And he's crazy enough as a reliever, to come into situations and bases loaded, and it doesn't bother him. So that's another guy I could see if, because you want to get players back who can make an impact. And I love Mike Gerber, as his story is as nice as it could be. But, you want the athlete. You want that guy who, can say, that's a guy I'm going to have for 10 years.
Well, you want someone who the other organization that you're trading with is reluctant to part
with. Right.
You want someone who's got some real value and some potential upside. And the Giants, with the Mike Gerber acquisition, Detroit didn't give up anything. They took him off of their 40-man roster, and the Giants went and plucked him out of that organization. And then they put him on waivers. No one acquired him. That's not going to be the case when they start trading these relievers in the middle of the summer. Will Smith could have the most value of anyone who's going to be on the block for the Giants, because he's a left-hander who throws 94 to 96. He's got the sharp breaking ball, and he can pitch in the ninth inning. He gets righties and lefties out. And, you know, if you're a playoff team, you see the value of a good bullpen if your starter is just going five innings, six innings a game. So Smith, Dyson, Watson, these are all guys who the Giants could recover important assets for.
And don't leave out your favorite experience.
Reyes Maranta. I mean, if the Giants wanted to part with him, there's probably no one right now on this major league roster has more trade value.
Yeah.
Just because he's got 5 years of control left.
Well, we'll see. All right, it's Sunday morning. You know, it's only 33 games down. The Giants are 14-19. Dodgers are starting to assert themselves a little bit, but it's kind of interesting to just follow these players and see how the trade season will play out. No waiver deals in August, so deals may be made earlier than July 31st. I can see that happening. So we'll see, but it's fun to do it with you. All right, let's look at Castillo, because this is a matchup of a 34-year-old against a 26-year-old, a guy who throws rockets against a guy who's starting to throw curveballs.
Yeah, Castillo, I mean, this could go down as one of the worst trades that Brian Sabing and Bobby Evans ever made when they gave him up for Casey McGee, but they didn't even know he was going to be a big-time prospect. He was just a relief pitcher who hadn't climbed higher than low A in Augusta when the Giants gave him up. I believe it was 2015 when they did so. And then the Marlins gave him up. They didn't think he was going to be a big deal. And the Reds have turned Castillo into the April NL Pitcher of the Month. This is a guy who's throwing as well as anyone in baseball right now, and a Giants offense that outside of Friday's game has really struggled. So they're going to need some margin to be on his game today if they want to have a chance against this guy.
Yeah, this guy's pretty good. But I'll tell you, last year, 169 innings, 28 homers given up. They figured something out with him to prevent that, because this year he's given up 26 hits and only 4 extra base hits and only 2 home runs. So this is a little bit like the Chris Archer game. You know, you just got to hang around him, and hopefully Samardzija can keep you there, and maybe someone could run into one.
You know, I saw an interesting note on this matchup. Samardzija has allowed the second lowest on-base plus slugging percentage to right-handed hitters of any pitcher in the National League this season, and Castillo has the lowest. So neither pitcher is really giving right-handers much to hit at all. Extra base hits have been at a premium against both of them. And, you know, you throw them both in Great American Ballpark, and something may have to give today, and we'll see which pitcher can last longer in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. This is a good one on this Sunday. Kerry Crowley with us, Bay Area News Group. Vendetti pitched yesterday. When you were on with us, we weren't sure what was going to happen. He's up. Is Williams Jarrez still around, or did he go back?
Williams Jarrez is still around here in Cincinnati, and maybe the Giants will say, okay, Venditti gave us 2 innings. You could send him back down and bring in the fresh arm with Williams, but they may want just to keep Venditti around. And there was talk yesterday the Giants weren't sure how Yanherby Solarte came out of that Friday game. He ripped a foul ball off his foot, so maybe if Solarte has to go on the injured list, they'd bring up Williams and activate him today. So we'll learn more once Bruce Bochy talks today. He's scheduled to do so in about 90 minutes, so we'll see how the Giants are going to structure this bullpen, but it's hard to imagine they won't have at least one more change by the end of this road trip, just because they've got 5 games left, 2 in Cincinnati, and then 3 at Coors Field.
Yeah, Coors Field chews it up. For Vendetti, he threw 24 pitches yesterday, but I was thinking about it, which arm threw the most pitches? Because that's the one that, you know, if he...
Exactly.
So, you know, he's a guy you could keep around because he may have thrown 3 left-handed and 21 right-handed.
Yeah, what's his rest like? That's something that I want to talk to him about. How does he bounce back from these outings? Because it's so fascinating for a guy who really doesn't throw the ball above 90 miles an hour. And, you know, those are guys who can conceivably pitch on back-to-back days much easier than a Will Smith or a Reyes Maranta can, because they're the ones bringing the high-velocity heat.
Now, that's a good story. How does Pat Vendetti bounce back, and which arm is more vulnerable? I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll
now you got a story.
That out.
All right. Now you got a story. Thank you. All right. Very good.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you. All right. Hey, it's great to have you on as always. It's always a great report. You take a lot of time with us, and we appreciate having you on as always. So, Kerry, thank you.
And looking forward to seeing you out on the patio next weekend, Marty. Reds in town.
Yeah, that's right. We'll go through this again. Let's see. Today is Sunday. So Castillo, I guess if there's an off day in the middle, maybe he'll go Friday night or Saturday, I guess.
Yeah. So the Giants fans can see him up close.
See him again. All right. Have a great afternoon. I think we've set this Samardzija Castillo matchup pretty carefully, and we'll see how it plays out. You never know. Thanks, Kerry.
All right, have a good one, Marty.
All right, that is Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group. More coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.